With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From the East Coast.
Check, 1, 2, how's that?
That's perfect. I'm sure you've been getting this a lot recently, but I want to congratulate you on the Godfather's a Hardcore movie. I think Ian McFarlane with that film has just beautifully captured the heart and soul of this band.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, it really is a story about me and you, or the person out there, the regular guy, or anybody. Like, you know, I always considered Agnostic Front like the people's band. You know what I mean? I belong to them. I play for them. You know what I mean? I don't do this for myself. I don't do this for any other reason but pure joy. Believe me. And that's the only thing that keeps me going. You know? Look, you're telling my voice because we've been raging.
And this is the last night, isn't it? So you've been on the road for a wee while.
Shot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring it. The last night, I fucking turned into an asshole to everybody. All right, come on. You got to stop fucking drinking. We got to get on a plane and go home, you know? You had a whole fucking month to party. They want to go out the last night. What, lose your passport? You know what I mean? It's been done. I seen it. You know what I mean? So I got that phobia.
I think with the last night as well, there's this pent-up like release, isn't there? Because you know the end is in sight. It's like, let's give it one more last.
Oh, the last night, forget about it. I leave it all on stage.
Yeah.
I leave it all on stage.
I can't wait. I'm going to be down the throat taking some photos tonight. So
yeah, sure. Don't worry, I'll hand it up there for you. I'm a ham. I'm gabagol. You know gabagol, right?
Of course, yeah.
Italian ham. That's what I am.
Where did you grow up in New York specifically?
I grew up in Little Italy, Lower East Side. The Lower East Side consists of Chinatown, Little Italy, and Alphabet City. It's below 14th Street. And east of Broadway is a section, like Harlem is a section. It goes east and west. It's a big section. But the east side, they do it that way, the downtown area.
They explore in the film a lot, I think, some of the... We're still in business, we're all good. They explore in the film a lot, I guess, some of the darkness and the troubles which Roger went through as a kid. But I noticed that there wasn't a lot of your childhood in the movie. Was that a conscious part on your behalf to perhaps not share that side of you? Or is
no,
it just...
I did whatever was, you know, required, whatever. Yeah. You know, like, you could tell me 6 o'clock for the podcast, I'm here 10 to 6.
You are. He's, you know, so, he ain't lying, people. Did you have a happy childhood?
I did.
Yeah?
I really did. I got to say, I never ran away from home. I never had, like, you know, anything, like, bad like that, thank God. You know what I'm saying? And my son, too. Now with me, you know, they take a baseball games or hockey. Well, not anymore. He's like almost 30, you know. You know, he's a big boy, big man now. You know, he got a beard. He's a big, strong kid. You know, he does judo and stuff like that, karate. You know,
I love it. Here we go.
We got a guest at the door. Who is it? Come on in.
Enter.
I think the door's locked. We got water.
It's a knock and run.
Who is it?
What's
it's
up,
Mike,
dude?
From the Street Dogs.
I was on the Flogging Molly Cruz. I love watching you guys every day on that. You were fucking fantastic.
Mikey, thank you. I love you, man. It's one of my heroes, that guy.
I've seen him do his thing on the Flogging Molly cruise a couple of months ago.
He's a soldier. I know,
yeah.
He's a firefighter. You know, or should I say the fire brigade?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's
an OG Dropkick Murphys singer.
Great guy. Great, honorable man.
This tour must feel like that, like a traveling family.
Yeah, so more like
holiday.
A traveling circus, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no
H2O tonight, no, but obviously they've been on the rest of the run.
Yeah, they've been on the...
You've got Gorilla Biscuits, yeah. Proper New York in the house.
Right. We got the LA boys in here, too.
Yeah,
we got the
and Billy as well.
Cut Road.
Yeah.
Count Time. You know, they're great. Two great bands, you know? I really like them. And, of course, the Street Dogs and Billy. Billy Bio. You know, he sings with that headset thing.
Right. Britney Spears style.
Yeah. What do you call it? Judy from Time Life magazine. So I came on stage when they were on last night, and I made a headset out of aluminum foil.
Amazing.
You know, I came out. I was Billy was talking. I was mounting it like fake talking, you know. We just have fun. I like having fun, you know.
Well, I noticed that in watching the film, you seem to have this really infectious, undeniable, optimistic outlook on the world. Does that come from your parents? Does that come from your childhood, your upbringing? Where does that come from for you as this kind of upbeat?
You know, my father was a knock around guy, you know. He was, you know, fun. And my mother was a great chef, a cook. She would never call herself a chef, you know, but she was a great chef. So was my father. And I do a lot of cooking myself. I'm a good chef, too. I got thrown out of culinary school.
What for?
Nah, the guy was a fucking asshole. Fuck him, man. I punched him in the face and I left. This is going back in the 70s
now. Yeah.
You know, before, you know, cooking was like a big thing. It was the Galloping Gourmet and Julia Child. That was it. Now you got all these other fucking people, you know?
Yeah, you got shows everywhere, books everywhere.
You got 10 minutes to cook. Fuck you.
I guess with
who is this coming in? It's my tour manager and my best friend.
One of the best guys in the business. I've only met him a minute, and he's been going out of his way to help us out. I appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, Schlumpf, my man, my brother, my friend, and my tour manager.
You guys have a great time.
Thank you, dude.
You got it. You got it. Thank you, Schlumpf, again.
How important was the cooking as an experience for you guys in your neighborhood in terms of the social aspects and the...
Well,
the communication, the connection, the celebration.
Yeah, well, food is a very Italian culture.
Yeah.
You know what I say about England? Come for the food, stay for the weather. They had me eating jellied eel the other day.
Really?
Yeah, that's disgusting. Pickled eggs.
Yeah.
Pickled onions.
That's a very East London kind of food.
Yes, I know what it is.
Eels and mash.
Oh, God, I ate it. It was hot. I threw up on stage.
I can believe it.
It didn't sit right in me.
So you straight up pasta, pizza, vegetables, oil. Salads.
You know, I
good
like,
food, right?
I just like
organic food, natural food.
Hey, whatever. You're tired, you sleep.
Yeah.
You're hungry, you
eat.
That's it. You know what I mean?
And because we have to eat, I think it's important to learn to cook and
prepare. No, you got to eat 3 times a day, right? So you might as well learn how to cook. And everything's on the internet now, so it's easy for young kids to learn.
How do you find keeping healthy and, you know, taking care of yourself on the road?
Well,
not just in terms of food, but everything else, getting enough sleep, trying to not have too much alcohol.
Sleep is my goal, my thing that
right.
keeps me going because I get bombed that night. You know, last night I got bombed on Belgian beer. That's strong
beer. Stuff, man.
Yeah, but it was so delicious.
And because it's fairly organic and natural, the hangovers on that aren't
no,
too bad.
No, I got nothing today.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a bag of shit, but I got no headache. You know?
So you have a lot of naps in the day before the show? Is that your way of recharging, resetting?
Every now and again, you know, you get fatigued.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I take an aspirin here and there, you know, but, you know, you shake it off, you know, and you go, and you do it. Muscle memory, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when it's kind of this late on in
but
the tour.
But I'm not one of them. I used to be an athlete when I was a kid. Well, not an athlete. I would, you know, do...
Well, you'd be exercising on stage every night, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's like cardio, right?
Yeah.
And I just jump around and have a good time. But I was always in shape, and I was always thin, you know.
Well, you
God.
Still are. You're talking past tense, Vinny. You look great.
You know, so I don't take care of myself like, what do you want to do? Die healthy? You want to look good?
You
want to
live life?
I want to look horrible in the coffin.
No, and
come up there, he's ugly.
Well, Anthony Bourdain, you know the chef.
Yes.
He had this great quote, which he said, "You know, your body isn't a temple; it's a theme park. Enjoy the ride."
A It's a what? A theme park. You don't.
Yeah, it's, cool. It's not a temple. It's a theme park.
I know Anthony had a couple of dinners with him also. He's a real great guy. I had a couple of dinners with him in my neighborhood with Frankie the chef. A couple of chefs. They all love me, the chefs. Because, you know, I'm a cook guy. I could cook. You know?
You can appreciate good food. You can talk about it and get excited about
they know
it.
I'm nobly done, so they cook. They like the way I cook.
How important was New York to the sound of this band starting out? Was it everything? Was it the very core of what AF's always been about?
I think it is because, you know, let's say back in the early days of CBGB's or Max's, Kansas City and places like that, I would go. I was already playing, you know, and I'll even go before that or even then. I'm going back to like 77s around there. I go see a band and I say, fuck you, I could do that. And I could do it better, louder,
harder, faster. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So were you watching bands like Ramones, Television Suicide, The Dolls? Were they bands that you would see?
I seen them all.
Were they an inspiration to you? Did you draw from that? Or were they not really kind of speaking to you as a kid?
A funny inspiration. An inspiration to say, like, yeah, fuck you, I can do it better.
I can do it myself.
Yeah. Because those bands weren't hard enough for me. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's all good. That won't affect it. It's just come off a bit.
I like straight up hardcore punk. You know, like the Discharge, GBH.
So you were coming from a lot of the UK side then?
Yeah, I would come from the UK side, I would say. But I put this American twist on it in my own way because... How do I say? Because I wanted to play faster. You know, so I think that was the hook.
Why do you think it was that a lot of those original wave of CBGB's, kind of Max's Kansas City bands, were a lot more art school? And then when hardcore starts up, it's a lot more street.
Well, they came from the glam era. You know, the
so it's
glam,
just a generational
the
thing.
The rocker. You know, and I'm from that era too. But I made the jump. A lot of these guys didn't make the jump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like when the early punk and the hard, well, not more of the hardcore, when the hardcore kids started coming around, they were punk hardcore kids, you know? And the older punk rockers were like, had an attitude towards them. I'm like, what the fuck is your problem? You know what I mean? They're with us. You know, take care of them, bring them in. You know what I mean? That's how I am, you know? And all those fucking cocksuckers ain't around today.
They had an elitism, did they?
Yeah, they're like elitists. You know, who the fuck are you? You're a punk rocker, you jerk.
Too cool for school.
Yeah, too cool. Yeah. Don't you? Let me tell you something. I act like a moron on stage, but you know what? My act stays on stage. I don't take my act off the stage. I'm not any better than anybody else. You know what I mean? And if I could help a young band out, young kids, you know, I love it. I get a kick out of that because I should do that. I'm an older guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to pave the way for the next generation, right? Like help them out, give them a lift.
Yeah, whatever. If I take them on tour, if they need my guitar, blah, blah, blah. One time a kid lost his guitar on tour, got stolen. I can't remember. He was crying, and we got him a new guitar.
Did you learn that from anybody, or did you kind of have to figure that out for yourself, that is how you should treat other musicians?
I just think it's common courtesy.
Yeah.
Really, I just think all respect. It doesn't matter to me what religion, what race, what gender. I don't give a fuck. Either you're a good person or a bad person.
And that's it.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and it's very simple when you look at it in that way.
Who robs your wallet? It's no bad person.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. I look at it, you know, very much the same way at life is, you know, as you said, you're either an asshole or you're not. If you're a good person, I'm with you.
I
regardless of skin tone, who you worship,
who
you sleep with, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Tell me about the importance.
Racism is a self-inflicted wound.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy is a self-inflicted wound. It'll only hurt you. So fuck it. Go for it. You know what I mean? Just be a good person. Just that shouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Because it don't. Not in my life anyway, so.
Did it hurt you or anger you in the past when perhaps confusion was made and people made the wrong assessments of certain Agnostic Front, either songs or their fan base, and they'd be like, oh, these guys are this fascist group, and that's obviously clearly not what you've ever been. Did that frustrate you and piss you off?
Yes, it did. And I had to fucking prove myself. First of all, I got a refugee from Cuba in my band. Right? I mean, well, I got a Chinese guy in my band. I got a Jewish guy. You know what I mean? I got an Arab Italian and me. Yeah.
And a European tour manager, right?
And a European tour manager, German European tour. Yeah. You know what I mean? You could, God, do me a favor. I need a black gay girl.
And then, the set's complete.
You know, so everything, I get the whole world involved. Hardcore is worldwide, you know? It's just a thing that, you know, that brings us together and, you know, that we all share.
I mean, you guys have been touring and traveling the world for over 3 decades now. So you've
seen, we're coming up on our 40th anniversary.
That's crazy. And I mean, punk was never built to last, was it? And I guess as a kid, yes. None of you guys ever thought, I'm going to be doing this as a career for life.
I never thought I'd be in England. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, you think the Beatles, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think? Because I'm old. You know, I'm 64.
Did you grow up on that stuff? Stuff
yes,
like
I did.
The
I
Beatles,
did grow
the Stones.
Up with the Hendrix. I know when the albums came out. I remember Sgt. Pepper's coming out. I bought it, you know. And But Jimi Hendrix changed me.
As a guitar player. Was he
know?
The guy that inspired you to want to pick one
yeah,
up?
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah?
He's the guy that inspired me to play the guitar. And Bruce Lee was the guy that inspired me to be healthy. Like, you know what I mean? Or tough. Or however you want to put it. You know, in that realm. But yeah, Jimi Hendrix is my guy. Till today.
What about as an entertainer? Because you're obviously an entertainer. You're this larger-than-life character.
Yeah, you can't buy that entertainment, I can tell you that.
You
right
can't
now.
You can't learn it either. You can't teach it. It's either you
can't sell it. You try to sell it. It's a hard sale.
And even maybe outside of music, just figures that
I think some
left
of my
a dent on you.
That entertainment thing comes from, I grabbed from old, like Frank Sinatra. Like, I went to go see Frank Sinatra one time.
You saw him live, yeah?
Yeah, I see Frank Sinatra.
Incredible.
Live. I seen him live in a movie, making a movie contract on Cherry Street. I seen him in my neighborhood. He did a thing. And I was standing about a little from here to where the wall is behind you. And I'm like, wow, that's Frank Sinatra. Because you see so many images of the guy.
And this is pre-internet, so
forget about it.
Out of reach, right?
Yeah. You know, so even if with the internet, you see so many images of that. You see him live, like there. I was a kid, you know, and I saw that. And I went to go see him live, and there was like, when the first no smoking started happening, he's like, what do you mean no smoking in here? He lights up a cigarette and throws a match at the guy. I love that.
Yeah.
I thought
that's
that
punk
was,
rock, isn't it?
That was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He involved the whole crowd. What do you mean? It's like, he lit it with a match, he threw it at the guy. Like, oh, it's so good.
Did you have any figures in your neighborhood that were celebrities and, you know, famous either actors, musicians?
Johnny Maestro comes from my neighborhood. Johnny Maestro on the Brooklyn Bridge. Marty Scorsese lived around the corner from me. I could throw an egg and hit his house. That's how close he lived.
Have you had interactions with him over the years?
No, I never did, no. He's a Sicilian. They lived on Elizabeth Street, and the Napolitans lived on Mott Street. And that's how it was.
Separation, was it?
No, it wasn't separation. We were all, all the town moved together. All the families moved together. Like, you know, that's how Italians, they all, you know, moved together. Like, you know.
I love just hearing, reading, learning about New York history, because I've said this on quite a few of the podcasts that I've done. It's so incredible to me that in the space of just a few years, all these art forms which went on to dominate 20th century and beyond.
Doo-wop.
Pop culture, from doo-wop to disco to hip-hop to punk,
all
from New York. Why do you think that is? Is it just because it is this melting pot of so many different cultures?
I think the pace of the city, the culture of the city, it's got a timing and a tempo of its own. You know, because when I go home, I notice myself, so if I'm here all summer, I walk a little slower. I say to myself, what the fuck am I doing? Let's go, Vinny, let's go. Because I see all these people standing around. Get out of my way, you motherfucker. You know? So
the pace of art is as quick as
well.
Yeah,
see, like
something
my
new,
building.
Something new, let's create, let's do, let's get out there.
In my building, there was my grandmother, my grandfather, my mother, my father, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles. Everybody lived in my building, my whole family. So,
are you still in the same area?
I still live in the same building.
Same building.
Yeah. I'm a senior citizen now. My rent got frozen. They can't throw me out. No, never.
Amazing.
I got it. Jamie from Hayford says, Vinny, you made it.
You won.
Yeah,
beat the system.
I won. I don't have to pay. Look like I pay no rent now.
Amazing.
And my gas and electric is cut in half.
How many people from your childhood are long gone?
A lot.
It's changed a lot.
Well,
the
put it
the
this
area?
Way. My whole family that I lived with in the building, they're all mostly all dead. A couple of cousins moved away and have children of their own, but everybody, like there's a French guy living in my grandmother's apartment, you know?
And neighbors, are a lot of the neighbors, the people you knew?
They're all gone, yeah. Everybody died a lot, you know? My family's been there since 1925. You know, my grandfather used to make wine in the basement. I used to have a pigeon coop on the roof, you know?
Have you seen the movie Ghost Dog?
No, I didn't.
It's a great Jim Jarmusch film. And that was my first introduction to this culture in New York of the pigeon coops on the roofs.
Oh, yeah. Very
distinctly New York East Coast thing, isn't it? Because Britain's quite big on that as well.
I know. Carry a pigeon.
But never on the roofs. Belgium. It's always gardens and, yeah.
Yeah, when the internet goes down, you're going to want guys like me with a carrier pigeon. Don't kid yourself.
I know, right? That's going to be the only means of reaching someone far away.
When they, two things with pigeons. One, when the Twin Towers fell. Mm-hmm. Pigeons were confused because they used that as a guide. And the path of totality, when the sun crossed the moon or the moon crossed, whatever the fuck happened there, the path of birds were dropping out of the sky. So when things like that happen, they think it's a biblical thing.
And it disrupts the whole ecosystem. Yeah.
It just, you know, when somebody calls you a bird brain, be proud of that. Yeah. Tesla was a big pigeon guy.
Because you think they're these very subtly complex, smart, highly developed animals.
When a bird songs like that's a song, a real like song. They slow it down and they, you know, whatever they do. You know, I'm a big pigeon guy.
I love it. Without going too heavy, you mentioned the 9/11 event. Then were you in New York that day?
Yes, I was in New York that day, and the first time was in '93, and I woke up. And I heard all the sirens. I go to put my TV on, change the channel, change the channel. I says to myself, the Twin Towers. And I was right. Second time, I woke up. I didn't have my TV in the room. I just woke up because I heard so many, like, woo, 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 you know? I heard all that. I knew it.
How far are they away from your building, from where you are?
I can show you a picture of me on the roof, and you see them right behind me. You know, they're a mile away.
Right. Wow.
So I had an English bulldog, Paulie.
My favorite breed of dog.
They're the best dogs. I love them. And I had to walk my dog. So I walked my dog on a roof, right? Because I go up on the roof, and there's my friend Anthony on the roof. You know, Vinny, plane crashed into the building. Says, it was such a clear day. Like, you know, how could you not see this fucking building? So I think, all right, the guy had a heart attack, flew into the building. I'm okay. And I'm with my dog, and like, you know, I'm hanging out. Well, you know, it was a big thing, you know. And then the other one went in. I said, come on, Paulie, let's go. Put my dog away. I ran towards Chinatown to go get my kid because he was in school. I go into the auditorium. My wife's there. And my kids there, and all the kids have got paper masks, Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
I was like, I grabbed my kid. We ran home. And on the way home, I stopped in Noodletown to grab food, a bag of Chinese food, you know? And in there, I saw a friend that I didn't see in like 20 years. And every now and again, when I meet him, we talk about that day like I'm talking now. And we went home. We just shut the, you know, we just prayed. Lit a candle and prayed for all the souls. A few friends of mine died. My friend Johnny the Fireman died. He was in a band called The Bullies. You know, they were like a Ramones kind of band. You know, and a couple of my friends passed away. That they were like shirt and tie guys, not suit and tie guys. You know what I mean? Like work in the mail room or something stupid like that. Deliveries or whatever. And it's a shame, you know.
How did the city change in the aftermath of it? Did you notice a distinct
the oil shift? There was so much oil in that to heat up the building, it burned for like 6-7 months, the oil and the smell. And I couldn't walk my dog on a roof because it looked like it snowed. You know what
Which
I mean?
Ash.
From all the ash, you know. I had to keep my windows closed, and it was white, the ash. It wasn't black. It was soot. I know New York soot. I've been breathing that shit in all my life, you know? And that's, you know, then that was not 9/11. 9/15, my mom passes.
Same year.
A couple of days later. 4 or 5 days later, my mom passes. I had to go through that. how to go to the funeral, you know, how to do all the funeral. And they canceled the San Gennaro feast, which I'm glad because my mother's having a funeral and I don't want fucking people like passing by, you know? And then 922, my first roadie, Frenchie, passed away. You know what I mean? So, oh, man, this sucks. You know what I mean? They closed down all the theaters, especially the Fantastics, because they had that song in the Fantastics. Try to remember the kind of September, that song. So they closed the play. They go, who the fuck wants, you know? So right after that, like in early October, I went on tour. Thank God. Thank God my guitar saved me to get the fuck out of New York.
Put your mind on something else.
Yeah, you know, yeah. My mom, you know, it was, my mother died, my friends died, you know, and it was a rough September.
I can't imagine there's going to be any month worse than
but
that.
But, you know, we always got a saying in New York, never forget, and I'll never forget.
Well, what I noticed as an outsider watching those events unfold and then the aftermath was New York is clearly this city that is so strong, and there's a real sense when times are hard that the people of that city come together. They've got each other's backs in such a way that makes it this special city. Beyond just the art that's come out of there, which is obviously fantastic, is actually the character of the people, right?
You know,
New Yorkers are great.
Thank you. Thank you for on behalf of New York. Thank you. And, you know, like people will come to my tattoo shop and like leave pictures of like missing my son. If you see, you know, and I, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. Even till today. Look at me. I'm almost going to cry over here. Hey, I ain't going to cry. I'm hardcore.
Thank you for talking about it. I know it can't be easy, but I think, as you say, never forget, and it's important to share it. You and Roger, this friendship, right? This is what I love about the documentary. The heart of this band is these two very opposing, very different guys.
Totally
tell me about the first day you met him or your first encounter.
I seen him at CBGB's, right? And I go in the pit, he'd be in the pit, and we mosh together. He was a fair guy in the pit, you know? No dirty shots. I don't go for that shit, you know? I'm a fair guy. We're here to have fun. So if you step on my foot or, you know, your arm hits me,
it's all good.
It's all right.
It's part and parcel, yeah.
It's not, you know, meant to, you know, like a sneaky point. Or I don't like that. So I kept seeing him, and I enjoyed his company in the pit. And I said to I said, you're in my band. I walked up to him and said, you're in my band now. And that was it. He'll tell you. You know, and that's how I got my guys. You had to be part of the scene. He said, I'm not going to get some amazing musician.
You're not going to be holding official auditions.
Yeah, no. The auditions is who shows up at the show. And is part of the scene. That's the audition. You know, you got the will, the believe. You got to believe. Because if you don't believe, I got to travel with you. I got to eat with you. I got to sleep with you. I got to drink with you.
You got to go to war together on tour, right?
Exactly.
Sometimes it gets like that. You're in the trenches. You know, you got to have each other's backs. It's got to be trust.
You know, I don't complain. I ask all the tour managers. I love doing this, too. I ask all the tour managers who tour manages everybody without mentioning names because I can. And I say to myself, you know, you go on tour with all these guys. Who's like maybe the easiest guy, you know? Said, Vinny, hands down you. Everyone says that. Why, you want to go? Yeah, I'll go. No, you want to stay? I'll stay. Because I could care less. You see me, I'm here 10 minutes early for this podcast.
You're the man.
You know? And if you want me to stay 10 minutes late, I stay 10 minutes late. I don't give a fuck.
I love it. And it's just amazing to me how much joy what you do still gives you.
Oh, yeah. No way. No, I tell you.
Where would you be right now if music hadn't have kind of come into your life in the way that it has? You ever
all
think
right,
about
I could
that?
I could have went a couple of ways. I could have been the working stiff, get up, go to work, go home, and die of a heart attack. I could have been used by the mafia.
Was that a big part of your neighborhood?
Yeah, that was a big part of my neighborhood. And I would have been dead today. I could tell you that right now. Because I'm too good of a heart. And they would have had, like, my friend kill me. That's how it works. Because, you know, that's the
you
way
you don't see it coming. Yeah.
I lived across the street from Murder Incorporated. You know what I mean? I live in Vincent Cole's apartment. Vincent Cole was, he invented the drive-by. Yeah, he was a German hitman, you know, and you could look him up, you know. And I live at his apartment now. That he, you know, Marty Scorsese used to leave all his camera equipment in my apartment back in the day. Now we're going back into '60s, you know, when he was still in his film school and everything like that. Because it was like kind of an my aunt had an extra apartment that she used for her son to go up there and study and hang out, and they always hung out to this apartment, so nobody was had the apartment. So I took it off of my aunt, you know. So I go out, you know. And I had that, I still got it. I got it over 40-something years, the apartment. I live in the same place. But I live in the same building 65 years, you know, 64 years. I forget how old I am.
So were it not for music, you think you would literally, as you say, 9-to-5 guy, mob life, killed,
yeah,
dead.
Or drugs, or, so maybe a junkie.
Either way, a real bad case scenario.
Yeah.
Nothing good.
Yeah, the bad case, I might have been a junkie in New York. Who the fuck knows, you know? But thank God I'm not a drug guy.
Thank God for music then, eh? Thank God for punk rock.
Smoke a joint, drink a few beers, smoke a cigar, a glass of wine, who cares, you know? That's what I'm about.
You enjoy drink on the road?
Oh, yeah. I got a bomb last night with that Belgian beer. Forget about it. It was awesome, you know? And then I have Schlumpf, my tour manager, and my best friend. He gets me my beer, Kronenbach. I like that beer a lot. I could drink that throughout the tour and not feel like... You know?
Yeah, like you're slowing down, you're jaded.
Like, it don't get me bloated. It's clean. It's good beer. Reinheitsgebuten, you know, 15, 16.
Are you a wine guy? You like wine?
I'm a wine guy. I'm Italian, so I'm a wine guy. My grandfather made wine in the basement, so I'm a wine guy.
And a fine cigar man.
Fine cigars. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Going back to you and Roger, obviously, you know, you are very different characters. And I mean, when you get him in the band, you start creating together.
Right.
Tell me about how this chemistry kind of surfaces and reveals itself and manifests in Agnostic Front.
Well, sorry.
You
had a rough night.
Take a drink,
night, man. No more drinking tonight because I got to go home. I don't drink the day before.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like one of my rules. I don't drink until the sun goes down. I got to have a dinner in me, you know? I want to be ready. Clean T-shirt so I can throw up on it or something.
Are you still rolling with Stigma on the flip side of the guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, man, if you see me tonight, if you get a moment.
Don't worry. I'll be there. You know, I'll be there.
I'll try and get my shot.
You're going to get it. But you know what? When we made that move, the documentary or whatever, for The Godfathers of Hardcore, we were supposed to go to Cuba and do a little thing there, like where Roger comes from. Because to me, that's maybe the greatest story in rock and roll, that some little kid from Cuba, can't speak English, comes to a foreign country, and like about 8 years later, winds up at CBGB's, and who does he meet? Vinny Stigma.
So how old? You're about 10 years older than Roger, is it? Or a little bit less?
Yeah, 9 years older than him. You know, and then...
Obviously, it's a brotherly relationship.
I used to be his older brother.
Right.
Now he's like my older brother.
Because he's matured into this wise sage.
I'm still a baby.
And you're still having
fun.
Like
a 13-year-old kid, you know.
Well, young at heart.
Yeah.
That's
you,
right?
And I like people, and I like partying, and I like hanging out with people and doing things. You know, people bring me wine, they bring me cigars. Like, you know, hey, I've been getting a backstage in my shows for 20 years, 30 years. You know what I mean? Speaking of which, we're coming up on our 40th anniversary next year.
Any special plans?
I don't know yet. Not to, to be revealed. You know, we're on the road so long. Maybe I'll change Willie Nelson's diapers.
Who's been touring longer, him or you? Not much in it, right?
Yeah, he has, but that's my little joke, you know?
The documentary itself, did you learn anything you didn't already know when you watched that? Was there anything that came to light that you were like, wow, I never knew that about Roger, or you never thought about the story of this band in that way?
Well, as far as that goes, once again, it made me realize how much Roger means to me in life. You know what I mean? Like, you know when you're having the in-depth experience, then you say, oh, every day I'm going to live to the fullest. And then you slack off.
Yeah, like, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
That, again, smacks me in the face again. You know what I mean? I had colorectal cancer. I had 2 operations. I'm fine. So I'm a cancer survivor. I'm a bullfighter. I fought a bull in South America. I fought a bull and 2 midgets. I was more scared of the midgets than the fucking bull. That cocksucker, they threw sand in my face. I started chasing that cocksucker. I kicked the rent in his fucking ass. That motherfucker.
And how did that start?
I was bombed.
Right.
I go to a bull fighting.
Yeah.
Right. Does anybody want, like, somehow going to the... I had a poncho on. I'm a nut. I had the hat. You know? They got a different kind of hat. It's called a big boss hat. It's a white hat. I go there. I go up to the bull. He turns around and he looks at me. Now I know what a bullseye.
Eye to eye.
I know what a bullseye means. I said, holy shit. He starts charging me. And I run away and I run into the skinny. And he just barely nosed me. And I ran into the skinny. The skinny, you know, the little thing you hide behind.
Yeah.
And I hit my jaw and my shoulder. But I tell you, the adrenaline, I was shaking. And there was the rest of the band was
watching, jaw to the floor.
I was like, you gotta come in here. This is no fucking way. You're crazy.
You're on your own, Vinny.
You're on your own. And then I was crazy. I said, fuck a bullfighter. Now I want to walk on fire. I want to become a fire walker. So I started, laid out all these hot coals and I walked over them and they had to wheel me around for like a week.
Oh, yeah. I can believe that.
And my feet were all burnt up. Not a place sitting down.
And where did the little dudes factor in? Where are they coming
from? The little midgets.
Yeah.
The cocksuckers were there. They were part of the act.
Right.
I was stealing the show.
Right. So they're getting angry. Yeah. They're like, kind of this guy taking the heat off us.
Yeah, that's why they started like, fuck, or kicking me in the legs. Or, I'm trying to make friends with the little cocksuckers.
Who's been over the years some of your favorite people that you've cut loose with and partied with? Has there been some memorable moments that you've enjoyed with some either peers in the scene or just, you know, people you've come across along the way?
Okay, let me start off with Mickey Fitz. September 8th is his birthday. My God rest his soul that I love. Mickey Fitz, Terry Bones, Sick Boy, Danny, the other Sick Boy, Chaos. These are just the English people, you know what I mean? Or the London or whatever, you know? All those guys, all the GBH guys. I toured with them in 86, and we still talk shit about it. You know what I mean? All them, all those guys. These are my heroes. These are my friends. These are the people I love. You know, like when you get like the Antino Whaley guys and the GB, calling me a legend. You know what I mean? Like, what are you kidding me? Get out of here. No, Stigma, you're the legend. The legend. I like the way they say, I like the way you talk. You know, so it's cool. You know? By the way, I just came from having lunch with the Queen. You know what she said?
What did she say?
If I had balls, I'd be the king.
I love it. When you're out on the road now, obviously there was the revelation about Roger in the film. Is this a concern that is ongoing for you as his friend?
I'm always worried about the guy, you know.
Do you talk to him about that? Or do you try and not trouble him with it?
I don't talk about it with him.
Yeah.
I don't say. People know more than me, and I don't want to know. Like, I'm kind of in denial a little bit, I'd be honest with you. You know what I mean? You know, just like with alcohol, I was in denial. But now I say, my name is Vinny, and I'm an alcoholic!
And you're all right with it?
And I'm all right, but I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm all right.
You got it under control.
I got it under control.
Did it ever kind of go the other way? You lost control?
Oh, yeah, I lost control.
Yeah, big time?
I have lost control in my life, you know.
Did you do the rehab thing, or did you just learn yourself to
rein it in? No, I went to one meeting. I'm like, I'm out of here. These people want to make friends with me? I don't want to be friends with these fucking people. I'll wind up drinking again.
Yeah, they'll drive me to it.
Yeah. But I'm fine. I'm good. You know, I ain't got an ounce of fat on my body. I'm in shape. I can run longer. I can do more push-ups. You know, I'm pretty good like that for an old bag.
You know who talks very highly of you? I had him on my show, Al Barr.
Oh, Al Barr. Forget about it. I love that guy. Another guy I love. We could go there. He's a hypochondriac, you know.
Yeah, I had him on the show, and from the moment we sat down, he just didn't stop talking for an hour. It was great. I just didn't really ask any questions. I was like, go.
Yeah, Al's great. I love good.
Real high-energy guy.
Yes. I took him on his first European tour when he was in the Bruises.
Mm-hmm.
But I was friends with him anyway. And I even used to make songs about it. I said, Bruises are losers. Bruises are losers. That's a lie. That's a lie. I don't make stupid things that I do. I don't know. I make stupid songs. I come out with the headset like Billy.
You know
what I mean? I love having fun and teasing. I don't break balls. I don't like ball breaking.
Yeah, the joke isn't at the other person's expense. It's right, just you having fun. You
joke around, you tease, is fine. You start like, I don't like mean, you know?
Mean spirited. Yeah, man. Fuck that.
It's not good. Not good. You know? Sometimes you could cross. If you didn't mean, all right. Yeah, what are we? Fucking snowflake over here, you know?
Yeah, you got to be the butt of your own joke, right? You got to be able to not take yourself too seriously.
There's a retarded guy that looks like me, and they put side-by-side pictures. I'm like, I'm all right with it. I try to show everybody. Roger shows everybody. He's got the picture. He says, hey, look. I say, I go ahead, laugh, you cocksucker. Go ahead, laugh. You having a good time? Looking at me, I look like a... I don't know if he's a challenge. Can't say retard no more. Yeah,
apparently not.
Yeah, right.
Do you feel like you're a part of a generation that's fading away in that sense?
Because I think it's very...
Without having it like the...
You know, because of the internet, I believe,
it's
very
PC, isn't it? Now?
Yeah, you know, it's annoying. It really is annoying. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
It's about where you come from. If it's coming from a mean-spirited, nasty place, then fuck that person.
You know,
but if it's coming from a good place and you're just having fun,
what's the problem, right? I love when healthy people die. Oh, I get a kick out of that. I know.
You missed out, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, we all try to, you know, consume in moderation. I get it, you know, but like I said, what do you want to do? Die healthy? Because we're all going to go. You know, you could be.
Well, that's the only certain thing in life, isn't it? Is that we all die.
Yeah.
That's the one certainty.
That's definite. You know, from the minute you're born, there's one thing that's going to happen to you for sure. You're going to die. So check yourself, everybody out there. Try to live life at the fullest. Really, do what you want. You don't want to do it, don't do it. You want to eat, eat. Don't eat, don't eat. Don't drink, do whatever the fuck you want. But make yourself happy. A friend of mine just passed away. My friend Vinny, he was in Warzone. He was the drummer. On this tour, I found out, you know. He had depression. So anybody out there, if you have that, it's a disease. You know, if you have that, try to like, if you like sushi, go get sushi. If you like pot smoking weed, go smoke pot. You know, try to make yourself happy. Do things that make yourself happy for a person that's an unhappy person. You know what I mean? It's tough. You might lose a loved one, whether in love or in debt. I get it. But to that person who's like that, you're going to die anyway one day. You know what I mean? You know, and even people that are thinking bad thoughts in their head. You're going to die anyway one day, so fuck it. Go for it. Leave your fucking carbon footprint.
I think PMA as this concept isn't about always being happy, is it? It's about always trying to be happy, even in the dark, tough times. that effort to look at the positive, to be positive, and live, as you say, get out there. See and do, experience things that make you happy.
Right.
Rather than wallow in the unhappiness.
Definitely. I love the PMA thing because negative? What do you mean? Of course, PMA. Whatever the fuck you mean. You know what I mean? It's definite, you know? And I'm all for that, man. I'm all for going out, get a friend, talk to them. Listen, I had cancer. You know what I mean? I might die tomorrow, you know? But I'm glad I'm with everyone on this podcast right now.
And you know you've had a damn good time, right? Do you feel like you've led a blessed life? Do you feel like a lucky man?
I am. I am very lucky because I have very, very great friends. I have a great platform to speak from, you know, and I'm very grateful, man. You know, I'm in good shape. You know, I'm not sick or whatever, you know. So it's all good.
Tell me about the Agnostic Front fan base, the people you meet along the road, because you guys are kind of the antithesis of rock stars. That's what I love about all hardcore, but particularly you guys. I guess you were really one of the first bands to set that tone. Is although there's a stage here, there's no divide, there's right. no barrier. Yeah, even if there sometimes has to be, like unfortunately, a right, fucking barrier, it's like there ain't no difference between you and the person watching an Agnostic Front show.
Like I said, we're the people's band. That's first and foremost. We believe in unity. We were the first unity bands, United Blood, you know, United and Strong, Punks and Skins, Blacks and Whites. You want to call me a Nazi? Get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Who are you? You're a left-wing Nazi. That's what you're. Yep. You're so zealous, some people, that like, hey, you ever see, you hear about the Hitler teapot?
No.
Sounds like a joke, yeah, right? No, it's really true. They had to discontinue this teapot.
Because people are getting offended.
I mean, you talk about, you must have a real abstract mind. It's crazy. It's getting to be a little crazy that I think
too much that way, right? Too yeah, much.
You know, you go eat. You know, you go east until you cross that international date line, mm-hmm. and somehow you cross that date line by being too far east or west. There's a point.
Yep.
There's that gray area where you gotta have a common denominator, I believe, you know, and accept other people's cultures or opinions. You know what I mean? Can't be just your fucking opinion.
Even if it's different to yours.
Yeah, even if you don't like that it, difference. That's their opinion, you got to respect it. Even in the football thing, you know, the teams, when my friend's team wins, I call him up, I congratulate him.
Because you're happy that
they're
happy.
I'm not happy. He's happy, and that makes me happy, so fuck it.
What about the fans that you've met over the years? What have they given you on a personal level? People that come to these shows and support this band?
The fact that they come after all these years, number one, and they come maybe now with their children.
Yeah, that must be a trip.
Yeah, that is a trip. Because just the other day, this big fucking bloke, he comes up to me and says, Vinny, you remember me? I said, nah, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. He says, I was a little kid, you put me on your shoulders. I says, well, I ain't doing it tonight. It was about 6'8", the kid. They're like 500 pounds. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. He showed me a picture. Like, he says his father couldn't make it. He's in the hospital or whatever. So I gave him a hug and kissed.
But that was his introduction to your band.
Yes.
Was it was his dad would
take him.
Yeah,
when he was a kid, his father took him. I called his father. And I didn't get talk to his father, but I left him a message on the machine, you know, on the whatever, you know. So I do that. Couple of crank calls in my life, you know. I crank called a guy once.
Well, there's a bit of that in the documentary. Oh, you're calling up the restaurant.
I love crank calls.
Oh, no, is it the hairdresser, the barbershop?
Yeah.
The tattoo shop. Yeah.
There's another one, I tell you, that's not in there. I crank, all of a sudden, I'm partying with a couple of wrestlers like Corey Graves and a couple of other people. Like, I'm having a great time in Florida. We did this big show, and Mike Gallo comes up and he says, boom, boom. Vinny, there's a guy downstairs talking. Yeah. I'm talking to my rock star friends. He says, nah, Vinny, you got to come down and talk to this guy. He says, all right, go. So I go down. I see this big fucking guy. He says, Stigma, you crank called me. I says, I did. Right? He says, you don't know what that meant to me, Vinny. I was in Afghanistan when you called. And we listened to that over and over. Because I call up, you cocksucker, you didn't come to my fucking show. You know, I'll start saying something stupid
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And he said, you know.
It kept him sane out there. It gave him some joy in a dark spot.
And he started crying. His wife was crying. Gallo runs away. You know, so a little stupid thing like that means a lot. Like there was this, I was in Houston, Texas, and the night a guy died too. But another, that's how I remember the night. I was on a, anyway, some guy brought his son. The kid was challenged, you know what I mean? And I brought him up on stage for the whole thing. It was so on the loadout, the guy comes up to me and says, Vinny, you made my son's day. You know what I mean? That, you know, you made him feel like, you know, special. And his wife's over there. He said, my wife's over there in the corner crying, you know? Just means a lot to me to do a little nothing. Cost me nothing, you know? All you rock star motherfuckers out there, you better fucking get with it because those are the real people out there. There's real people that make you who the fuck you are. And I appreciate everybody that comes to my show.
Now, there's no kind of monetary value to that, is there? That's the real deal. That's the real reward.
I'm glad I'm in here. Yeah, definitely. I'm glad I'm here. My fucking dressing room is full of people. There's no fucking rooms. I kicked myself out.
Yeah, I heard you had about 25 people riding with you on this tour. So is that crew, family? I mean, that's a big number of people to be all traveling together. And
oh, yeah. Well, we got three tour buses.
Three?
Three.
That's a long way from the van, right?
Yeah, I got three bands on one.
Oh, okay, great. You're all sharing. You're all rolling together.
One, the headliner band on their own, then three and three. We have three bands on our bus.
Amazing.
So I tell you the truth, I don't care if I become as big as Metallica. I won't want my own bus. I want another band that I like, my friends.
Yeah, you
want
to share the experience.
Yeah, you know, somebody to drink with, somebody to talk to. Am I going to talk to my guys? You know what I mean? I'm with them all the time. I need, you know.
Do you do well on your own? I don't.
Keep me on my toes.
Are you much better when you're surrounded by friends, family, people? You're a sociable guy.
I think everybody is, you know, friends.
Do you like being on your own? Do you enjoy solitude, or is that not your thing?
The first couple of days when I get home, yeah.
Decompress.
Yeah, decompress, you know. But you got to watch, especially guys that tour like me, you know. The first couple of days you go home, oh, you're shitting on your own toilet, you're in your own shower, you're resting, you wake up when you want, you eat what you want, your favorite foods. You do that a couple of days, it gets a little boring. Because you're so used to on the jump. So you start drinking. So watch yourselves, guys or girls. Come on in. Somebody at the door. Come in.
There's another knock and run.
Hey, Johnny Haircuts. How are you? All right. That was Johnny, one of the tour managers.
There we go.
Sweetheart of a guy. He's from Jersey.
Love it.
Yeah.
Proper international rolling crew.
Yeah.
Final subject I want to kind of touch on before I let you go family, as in from the stigma down. How did being a dad change your life? What's it brought into your life and your world? And
well, now my kid is old, so I'm back into my old life again.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I did. I was always good to my son. I always did what I had to do. And I tell you the truth, it's simple. There's nothing hard about it. You know what I mean? I get it. You know, I'm not the richest. Your house will never be big enough. You'll never have enough money. You'll never have a nice enough car when you have a kid. Or you want to send him to that school that he don't want to go to. You know, you can't live his life. He's got to live his own life or her life, you know. So, but yeah, it calmed me down a little for a minute. But I'm a wild animal. I really am. You know, but respectable, like when it comes to that. So I always paid my bills. You know, I still the same apartment. I have other places, but I still got, you know, I'm a pretty steady guy. What you get? I'm like a bag of snacks. Come chew them up, baby.
You actually mentioned Metallica a moment ago. There's been so many bands, and I know you're a very humble man, so you're not going to probably want to go on about how amazing and great your band is, but I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how the impact that you've had on, you know, such a wide range of bands, and in some cases, these world-conquering juggernauts of bands that have obviously taken inspiration from you guys. What does that mean to you? Is that a very kind of lovely, sweet, touching thing to hear about?
It really is. And I tell you, Kirk from Metallica invited Agnostic Front to play his party. He throws a party once a year. It was Agnostic Front and Ghoul. And I call him Funk Ghoul. You know?
Yeah, the Italian version.
Scott, great guy. He makes a toy maker. You know, so he made a Stigma doll.
Amazing.
So anyways, Kirk invited us. We played a show. He treated us like charm. You know, he treated me like a gem. You know what I mean? And I even made a song about him, too. Vinny and Kirk. One is old, the other's a jerk.
Al said you do a lot of these, especially on the road when you're touring in the bus. These songs are just kind of coming out you all the time.
Yeah, because I do doo-wop.
Is music just, you know, the great food of life for you?
I think so.
That's what keeps
it
all fresh.
To be honest with you, I struggle till today with the guitar. I was never really the best musician in the world. But that doesn't matter to anybody out there. Just pick up that guitar, be yourself, and just go for it. Even if it sucks. because you might think it sucks, but the other guy thinks it's great.
And the more you do it, the better you'll get.
That's
like everything
right. Just
life.
Do it. And it don't suck because it's coming from your heart.
I've got to say, Vinny, the film that's obviously now out, it's been out for a while now, but if people haven't seen it, Godfather's a Hardcore, they need to check it out. A lot of music documentaries, for me, are quite factual, and I've seen pretty much all the major punk documentaries, and usually it's the same kind of beat, the same story. Yours is so special and different in that it's really personal, it's really touching, it's heartwarming, it's inspiring, and it was really nice to see your band, after all these years, really kind of be celebrated for the great things that they've done. And I want to say it's been a pleasure hanging out with you, chatting with you.
Thank you. And I also was in another movie called New York Blood.
Acting.
Yeah, I play a mafia guy.
Amazing.
Oh, far stretch.
New York Blood.
Yeah.
Was that your first foray into that, or have you done it before?
I was in a couple other movies.
Right.
You know, let's see. I got the, I film them every now and again at New York Hardcore Tattoos, my tattoo shop in the Lower East Side. And everyone is welcome there, too. That's why I opened up the tattoo shop, because...
A meeting place, right?
Yeah,
a gathering.
In the 90s, when, like, you know, you walk into a tattoo shop. I don't want to walk into a kid walk in and feel uncomfortable. Like, they look at you, they got, like, leather pants, too many tattoos. They think they're
wrong. Yeah, they used to be pretty gnarly places, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I still call it a parlor.
Yeah.
Not a shop.
Yeah.
I still call it a neighborhood, not a community. Ugh. Fuck you.
History, heritage, right?
Yeah.
Holding on to these things that
I
make...
want people to walk in and feel at home, which they, you know, and everybody comes down for that tattoo, the New York Hardcore tattoo. That's all, you know, that, or a couple other tattoos, you know. It's cool, you know? But I'm also in another movie coming out called Dick Dynamite.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did you get him
I
out?
I think that cocksucker robs my cigar in the movie. I'm going to go straighten that cocksucker out any minute now.
Vinny, thank you so much for your time, my brother.
You're awesome.
I really enjoyed talking with you.
I enjoyed the interview. You're a great guy. And, you know, everybody got to listen to this guy's podcast because he's awesome.
You're the man. Can I take a quick photo of you before
sure,
I let you go?
You got it, brother.
Fucking A.
And God bless everybody and Hardcore Liz.
For my family, for my friends, for those that we lost, I say. This is a message, this is for you. Never forget the Lower East Side Crew.
For my family, for my friends, for those that we lost, I say. This is a message, this is for you. Never forget.